Hello, hello, welcome every Husky fan in the planet that's subscribing to our podcast. This has been a while, but it's the Husky Land podcast, Larry, and we're back. We're back, and it's cold in the Midwest, and I think it's probably rainy where you're at, but there's some sunshine coming through in a Husky football program, right? Signing
There
day just
is.
finished up. Yeah. Let's get into it, man. Let's just cut to the chase. You had said that there was a lot going on in our little pre-work here in Husky football the last month, which there has been. Go ahead and give us the cliff notes on kind of where we're at today from the last time we spoke. And the last time we spoke, I think we were just starting to get through some of the attrition guys. So give us a quick update, man. Where are we?
Well, let's start with recruiting, I think.
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
One of the things that this coaching staff has to get high marks for is winning the trust of the existing players. There were a number of defections. I think we lost nine decommits during the year, and the portal also had a was full up. But I think one of the things that it just keeps coming out from both in the news, word of mouth from the players. They're buying in. The strength and conditioning program, which they had, starting with in December with the new staff, getting rave reviews, which makes you wonder what was going on that last year when it looks like Lake just said, "Hey guys, fatten these guys up a little bit. We need bigger players." Well, they got bigger, but they didn't grow any higher. And as we could see that from the program. And so that part of it's been really good. Wow. Everybody was on the road in Washington in January. December they were in the surrounding states. They were in January, but they blitzed the state. They covered Spokane, Walla Walla, Bellingham to Vancouver, the whole four corners of the state. They hit 30 schools, and the reports out of these schools are, I think was very favorable. One of the things that this staff did, as opposed to the previous staffs, is they said, not only do we want you to come out to the program and help us, we want to help you guys coach. We want to give you the tools that we can provide to you. And it's really opened things up.
So right now you're impressed with the effort, the tenacity that
Yes.
the coaching staff has put into not only, like you said, securing whatever players that we wanted to stay in, which we got some positive feedback, right? So we both were concerned that it'd be a mass exodus, especially in the wide receiver group, because you saw Junior
Yeah.
Adams depart from Oregon. But we did have one casualty. I think Shoyer Roncanelli move on. I think he's at Montana. But we're able to keep the commitments and the stability at
From the top
from the
players.
top players. So Jalen McMillan and Rome Udunze both come in and said, we're committed to this staff. And then also you see an influx of Junior Alexander. So now you have the Kennedy kids,
It's
Heward, Alexander, and Tanae. So the storybook has changed. So I agree with you. I was very suspect in seeing how quick DeBoer could really ratchet down on these guys, not to mention what they've been able to close on the 22 class, but probably priming the pump for 23, right?
Yeah. You remember when Peterson came in? I think the number one thing was, can this guy, who's a legend in the lower levels, can he come to the Division I level, top level, and know how to recruit? And you look at what we've got here. We took 15 kids into this cycle between December 15th and February 2nd. And eight of them are high school kids, seven of them are transfers. And so we look at this, and they ended up collectively having a 85.76 average score in the the national rankings. Probably for our new staff and our coach, which was, I see something like 90-6 or something like 90-7, a lifetime as a head coach. This is probably far and away the highest ranked in terms of average ranking that he's ever had.
Sure.
You know, those teams that he had in Fresno, you know, you look at those kids and, you know, their star receiver had an 83.5 a ranking in terms of stars. You know, that.
Sure, but you also have to put in some context with that, right? So he's Fresno's playing players like that play for San Jose State, which are similar in their recruiting rankings, right? So,
oh yeah,
there is some context with that, but I hear you. He should, in theory, his methods should be able to now level up because now he's coaching at Washington, recruiting at Washington.
Yeah, the point I was making actually is he actually beat UCLA last year. He was 9-3 last year. But the two games that catch your attention, he was ahead of Oregon for most of the game, well into about the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter. And he beat UCLA at, both of them were at their own stadiums.
Hmm.
How do you get kids that rate almost between a 2 and a 3 star? How do you get kids playing like that? What really gives me some excitement, these guys have a priority on coaching. And I think it's what these kids have needed. And I think they're starting to see that. We're not going to know much, I don't think, really until spring ball. That's going to be another great time to really evaluate where we are. But I want to go back to the class that they landed. They landed 8 high school kids. And in that, they got 1 offensive tackle. They got 1 wide receiver. They got 1 tight end. They got 2 DBs, 1 edge player, and 2 DT tackles, the kids from Michigan, which, you know, it's ironic. The kids were unranked when they got here.
Yeah.
Then they ended up getting ratings like 83, 83.5 or something like that. We find out that the kids are All-State, and immediately after Washington offered them, other schools came in and offered them right on top of that.
These are the – so I think I want to say Armon. Yeah, Armon, yeah. Parker and Javon.
Armon and
Parker.
Javon Parker.
Yeah. It looks like they have really great frames, and this is my comment to you. So you hit the nail on the head. Those 2 kids, I don't know how good they are. Who knows, right? Who knows?
They were All-State Michigan.
Okay, that's fair. But what I was going to say is this is a seismic shift of the style of player that they are recruiting from a defensive front. So in the past with Ikeke Malloy or any of the prior regime, there was a lot of, I would call them slow-moving bodies.
Recruited by the pound.
Right. So you have these 2 gentlemen who are listed at 6'4", 270. They look bigger than that.
Well, they're actually, one of them weighed in at Husky Stadium. The kid that's probably going to be the Levi position, what's that, number 3 on the front line? He's going to be a 3-tech. He's at 285. And they say he's really, really fast. Both of them have really, really strong hands. They use their hands and just throw people around, which is also something that I didn't see a lot of with the current guys.
That's right. You couldn't shed a block. That's right.
The other guy, I think, weighed 292 or something like that.
Yeah, they look bigger. They look like they have some frame.
And Javon's going to be a nose tackle. The other one's going to be a 3 or a 5 technique.
Regardless of how they played, that was a breath of fresh air that they didn't just go to the island of Hawaii and pick up a guy that's 6'1", 330 pounds that can't move. Like that, this is the crux of it all for me, is that at least DeBoer is saying, hey, man, we need to get more athletic and we need to get taller. We need to get leaner potentially and more athletic up front on the defensive side. And again, I don't know how good these guys are, but at least that shows me that they recognize where they were having a deficiency and where they need to improve. And that's my take on that.
Well, they've covered the country, actually.
That's right. Then you see some of the transfers. So let's get into the transfers. So, of course, we lost some players. We also saw Jackson Kirkland come back, at least petition to come back because of his draft status. His draft status is suffering because of his, I think, ankle or something like this with a foot.
Potentially. Oh, Kirkland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirkland. Yeah. He apparently played almost the entire season at what they said was probably about 50%. You know, and it looked like something was wrong with him. He did not look like the same player. And then you got Benevalu, who played on a torn leg
most
of the season, and he looked like crap. So it's hard to say, and which goes back and says, you know, one of the things that we have not been bothered with at Washington is an awful lot of really injuries. Yet last year we had plenty of them. In fact, it started even in the spring when we lost the ETF. What was the strength and conditioning staff doing? And what was Lake trying to do? He obviously didn't put in conditioning. You know, and I know the key to this level of football is speed.
That's speed. Right. That's right.
And it's all relative. The DT guys are not going to be faster than the safeties or the DBs or the running backs, but they've got to be able to move. And the thing that I saw that this recruiting class brings is speed. They brought in a JC transfer, weighs 215. They said it can run with the wind. Now, you know, how much he's going to be able to help, he'll probably be a depth player.
Is this on the offense? Is this your Dumas or is this Bryant?
This is DeMario King. He's a linebacker.
From
the JC.
Got
they
it.
Also brought in Cam Bright, who is going to be an inside backer for us. And he was what they would call probably a Husky at Pitt. He was the captain of the team. He's got a high GPA. And he was a real strong team leader on a Pitt team that won the ACC title last year and won the bowl game.
I like what they've done with their transfers. You mentioned this Cam Bright, who is going to be a real nice influx of competition at the middle linebacker. We saw.
I think he's probably going to start over Bruner. Putting him and Eddie and Bruner on the same is going to be fun to watch.
Well, you're off now. So keep in mind, you're running this 4-2-5, but that outside kind of safety linebacker hybrid, maybe Eddie could move to that. Maybe Cam Bright does that role, like you said. You could get all three of those guys on the field.
You talked about
Tom Hampton maybe sliding into that role too, but I like what they've done there. They didn't do what I have was fearing, which was bring a bunch of transfers in that were freshmen, sophomores, outside of Junior Alexander, what it seems like. Aaron Dumas from, I want to say, New Mexico, which is a bit bizarre. But
well, he's a freshman, and he also was somebody that they actually recruited at Fresno, and that he had his best game of the year playing against them.
Yeah,
you know, it's
go ahead.
It's hard to tell. You know, I'm seeing size wise. I saw one where he was 5'9", 210, and then on the list school listing, he's 5'11", 180. So I don't know how big he is. I was hoping he was going to be a big back, but he was very productive. And of course, you know, playing teams that are not necessarily top Division I teams. But he did play against Fresno, and what he does have is insurance against. There's a lot of running backs on our team that look like they're all about even.
Mm-hmm.
And this spring, it's so important, the spring practice, because they're going to be able to evaluate people. And you know, right now we're at 84, scholarships as a 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously one scholarship is being held for a local offensive tackle.
That's right. That's right.
But next, we also have, this is something that I was unprepared to see this. We have 7 true freshmen now, effectively as of February 2nd, which are the 7 high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
We got 1 redshirt freshman. No, 27 redshirt freshmen now, 24 sophomores, 18 juniors, but only 7 seniors. So guess what?
Are you calculating Jackson Kirkland as a coming back on that? I got to guess.
I don't think so.
No, you don't think he's coming? Okay.
I didn't know. I didn't say that. I don't know that he's included in 7 seniors.
Okay.
Dana Vallow and he may be in addition to that, but the numbers are 84 where the current scholarship is. So those kids are still on scholarship, apparently.
All right.
But they're going to have to shed 10 to 11 players this spring. And it's going to be a time where it's going to be, they're going to decide which of these kids are going to go forward and which would be better served.
Well, you can't shed 10 more. All right. So if you lose 10 more.
No, but those kids will be discussed what they have to do. And at some point are going to make decisions.
Sure. Okay. I'm with you.
You know, and what I'm worried about is the running back room. It's what kind of led me into that.
It's a little heavy.
Running back room is, like I said, I think we got 6 or 7 guys that are about equal.
Mm-hmm.
And those Texas kids
are
critical for us.
What's interesting to me, I'm looking at the roster right now, and I've said this before, there are probably at least another 10 players that you've said that you probably could find. Again, using the word expendable is not really very appropriate, but probably could maybe do better somewhere else. Now, so what you're seeing today, I mean, the transfer stuff, I think we're only at the tip of the iceberg with this transfer stuff. I mean, how many, I think we counted 6, maybe 7. 7 additions via transfer for Washington. But man, if you go look at Texas, it's like 25. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're going to see the rosters year over year completely fluid. And now that adds some fun, right? That gives a lot of things for Wes and Larry to talk about. But man, if you're a coach, like, yeah, okay, I just signed up Sam Heward. I got him for 5 years. No, you don't. Every single year, you have to recruit these guys. It's crazy. I'd hate that job.
And the kids, there's going to be more heat on them to compete. Because if you don't compete, you're not entitled to a job.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy because, again, every single roster spot is open at this point every year. Every single year. No wonder Chris Peterson won it out. Okay. All right. So the roster is in flux, but I think we both agree the pivot that was made, I think, worked for us. I think there were some nice additions coming in. There's probably going to be some casualties, of course, for next year. But we got commitments back from the 2 top-end receivers. We got ZTF committed back. The roster looks healthy.
Yeah.
Even though the team was 4-9. The roster still looks pretty dang good, at least from who these guys could be. Am I wrong in that?
We'll see what coaches can bring out of these kids. They quit on Lake last year. There's no question about that. It started in the strength, but it also, they lost the mental battle. These kids were just going through the motions, you know, and it was just, it's over.
It's over. Moving on.
These guys are excited about their team. They're excited about being here. These guys, last year, we issued about 90-plus scholarship offers to the old staff.
Yep.
This year, on 2023, we've offered 106 in 20 states. You say, right. Well, what good is it doing something about offering a kid on the East Coast? I remember back when Oregon kind of started doing that. They put their names out to get their names out. And as the kids start talking about you and start knowing about you, I see again and again and again, a lot of the kids that they're recruiting were surprised that the University of Washington was in Seattle, that it wasn't in Washington, D.C.
Sure, sure.
You know, so there's some of that, but you'll start getting some. And we obviously have got a nice little pipeline into Texas now. And I can see that particularly we've got a couple offers out in Colorado now and the like, but 106 offers. And it's.
So that goes both ways. So that goes both ways, right? So whereas Washington is dipping their toe in Georgia or North Carolina or New Jersey, these are, and the New Jersey is mainly Big Ten, but what I other said is ACC, SEC territory.
Yeah.
Other schools are doing that to Washington, state of Washington, right?
They so, are. I mean, let's we're not, finally let's, fighting back.
Let's be honest, man. The two kids that departed last year likely don't know what's going to happen with the top kids here this year. I mean, he's not signed yet, but maybe there's a rabbit in the hat to keep him in Washington. And then you have the 23 kids. Not sure, but yeah. You are getting the same presence of SEC and Big Ten teams coming in to Washington. So it goes both ways.
We've got Big Ten offers out too. There's, you know, obviously Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa. I guess Missouri is a SEC, Kentucky. I mean, it's crazy, but the biggest thing is we've still got a good crop of kids coming through the state in 2023 and 24 and 25.
What I think you need now, if now you're getting a good story to tell to these kids, you need a rebound year, man. Like you cannot, DeBoer cannot go out there and go 4-8 again. I know it's not, it wasn't hit on his resume. Last year was not on his resume, but if he's trying to build credibility and equity with some of these kids, it needs to be some life.
He needs to have 8 wins at least.
Yeah. I think even outside of the wins, he needs to see the team and the energy in this stadium. Like I haven't been to a Washington football game in probably 4 years, but there was a sharp decline from the energy that you are used to what, when I was like my last time there, it was just getting really difficult to get fans into those stadiums. So
well, the offense was so boring. And last year, it was just the last 2 years, it simply was ineffective. But when you have a good offense, it juices everybody up. And I think that it becomes more fun for the players. It becomes easier on the defense. If your offense has the ball and they can score points, the defense actually can get rested.
Well, here's my sideways take on this. Is this is a prime chance. So if I was Kalen DeBoer, I'd say, all right, we have a unique opportunity to become, I wouldn't say even with the Seattle Seahawks, but to take a few steps closer in popularity. When Seattle, they got some things going on there, not doing so great last year, and you now see a big roster possible change with the Seahawks. Like, if I was Washington, I'd be like, this is our chance. This is our chance to get some energy. Get the local dudes on the local sports channel start talking about it. Get Softy talking about these guys more. That's the only way to do it, man. If you can start getting more excitement, taking it away from the Seahawks, put it into Husky Stadium, now you got something.
Who wouldn't want to play for an exciting offense?
I agree.
You know, it's. I think I told you before that the guy that you probably closest to the kind of offense we're going to run is the kid that or the coach that's at Tennessee now, former Oklahoma quarterback,
Josh Heupel.
Yeah, it's that kind of offense. He'll structure the offense for the team. We had one basic game plan all season long. Run up the middle on the first 3 downs.
Punt.
And punt. That was, And oh, by the way, we didn't miss out on that because we did get one punter
who's a 1 year. Is that a scholarship? We scholarship this guy.
1 year scholarship.
What, don't we have a punter, Tristan Brown, or something like this?
Yeah, and I'm afraid that your comment about Tristan Brown before may be some of the reason for it.
Because I said something?
You said that Tristan Brown, you know, he's a scholarship kid that has never played.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a kicker like that once before. But
Tim Young or Tim Horn, yeah, he left too. So yes. What's going on with Tristan Brown? Is he going to find a new home?
He's got a scholarship, and so that it might be conditioned on that. But there's another one. We got one of the top rated kicker punters, from Arizona, that walked on.
Oh, he walked on this great.
He
guy.
Walked on.
Okay.
He walked on with an understanding that.
He'll take Tristan.
When Kevin Ryan graduates, he gets that scholarship. Or if in the event that we lose a guy, that he gets that one.
Nothing more exciting. Nothing more exciting on a podcast than kicker and punter talk.
Yeah. Well, I figured you'd really enjoy that. I think it stems to the depth of the level of this discussion that we have. That's so thorough that we even covered
the
special team guys. But I'm looking at the roster here, and I think the guys that I think have got a chance to maybe make a contribution this year are Cam Bright and DeMario King at linebacker, Ryan Otten at tight end. I'm not sure about our tight end depth, but I think he's a chance he could play. Junior Alexander, I think, could also be somebody. What he is, he's about a 6'2", 6'3", slot receiver. Great hands. And, you know, he should have had a scholarship last year. We offered Jeremy Bernard, and I thought we had him in the bag, and we kind of did, but not as much as we probably thought we did. And, but Junior, I think, is going to be a big guy. Usually in the slots for Washington, they're about 5'9". And I think when you have a big guy like that, it's like having another tight end out there. And Junior runs great routes.
It's a good point. So tell me what Washington's ideas are for quarterbacks. So there's this – so we have Heward, we have Morris, and we have this other kid. I want to say Panix. Not sure. This transfer from Indiana. I think he's a junior, so you have three.
He has 2 years to play.
Right, so you have three scholarship quarterbacks, and now I also see them somewhat, it sounds like, somewhat in the line for this 23 kid out of the Bay Area who is a pretty top-rated quarterback, this dual threat.
And so, they also offered Jabari Johnson, the local kid who's a four-star.
From Tacoma?
Who's got offers from USC, Oregon.
Right, because we lost the commitment from that kid from San Diego. Anyway, so my position is this. You don't want to frighten Sam Heward, but can you lock a kid? Like, could you actually bring a high-touted player in on 23 and not spook Sam Heward?
Well, put it this way. If you spook him, then you're not going to miss him.
See, I hear that. I hear that, but don't you think Ohio State – wanted to keep that Quinn Ewers guy too?
Yeah. The quarterback position is wide open.
It's horrible.
I don't think you can assume anything. Sam's going to have a chance this spring to show if he's the starter. And if he's the starter, great.
Right.
Because the big thing about bringing in this kid from Indiana was that he knew the offense. He was successful in it, and he can mentor Sam. And my Christmas.
Dylan.
Yeah, and Dylan as a freshman was a fairly decent quarterback. He was a game manager, and the coach doesn't really want a game manager. He wants a quarterback that's a difference maker. But he's not sure on Dylan.
I think he's really been given a chance
to be what he can be. So he's happy with all three guys. He's all of them have got some game experience. And he has Camden Sermon, who's a walk-on, who it was the scout quarterback last year and can run like the wind. He's kind of like a tight end wind. I mean, he can run. He's a decent passer, but he's a real good runner from Montana. And he's a relative of the other Sermons.
Well, as I've said before, the only guy I don't want to see walk out the building is number seven.
Yeah, and I don't think he will.
And I think you got to do everything you can to keep him around. And that includes, and I'm with you, like, I don't think it does anybody a service to name a player a starter in spring or right as camp breaks. So it's important that you get competition at that position. But I think if I was a betting man, I think DeBoer says, hey, man, who is our closest replica of what's his face? Haener, who is more of a point guard, right? A Kyler Murray, even though Kyler Murray can move, like he's a distributor. I don't think Sam Huard is going to light you up when it comes to like a Josh Allen with his overwhelming arm strength. But I think as far as distributing the ball, I think he's more accurate from what I've heard of Dylan Morris or the guys like that. I'd give him the
he's probably even more accurate, you know, historically than Michael Penei is as well too. But Michael was a 65 to 70% accuracy guy. What he uses the term every time he talks about the quarterback room is he's looking for a distributor.
That's right. That's what I just said.
But not a game manager.
That's right.
You can, a difference maker.
Tom Brady was a distributor, man. Early in his career, sure, he redefined his body and his talents. Then, I mean, there was a time when he had one of the strongest arms in the league. But for the most part, his career was managing passes that were between 5 and 8 yards. And he wasn't distributing the ball 30 yards down the field constantly. So, and that's what the NFL, that's what football is. Like, just like we've said, my biggest issue with Washington football is a 3rd and 4. Cannot complete a damn pass. 3rd and 6. Just cannot. The likelihood of Washington completing a pass on 3rd and 6 is less than me dunking the basketball right now. That's how it's been the last few years.
Well, even you know, he's got a tremendous, I think, and he knows it. He's got a tremendous receiving crew and decent tight ends with the possibility of having some really good tight ends.
And running backs that can catch.
And he has running backs that can catch. Does he want to do 50-50 in the running? I think he probably would like to do that. But his offense is going to be geared to the tools that he has. We have good running backs. As of yet, we don't have great ones. And I think spring is going to be a chance to install the offense, see the guys in it. Having Michael there is going to allow them to see how he likes to have it run. So it's not just having a coach saying, he actually has somebody that successfully ran it. That kid was the number two quarterback all Big Ten at Indiana.
Yeah, he's a good player. This is what you know, I'm saying.
Could he have played for Ohio State? No, but he played against Ohio State and damn near beat him. They lost the lead in the last 3 minutes against Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know who this kid is. He's got some skills. So you have to think a player like that who probably could have played somewhere else and started, like he has expectations, bare minimum, to compete for a job. So get back to my prior point. Like, I don't want to walk away and have a rental, Jake Haener or Michael Penei, to spook away Sam Huard. Anyway, all right, moving on.
Aaron Dumas, the running back, has got more carries than all but one guy on the Husky staff as a freshman. So I think Ryan Auten, probably of the freshmen, is probably the only freshman Who knows, maybe, man. A high school kid, this kid Tristan Dunn. You know, I have been watching a lot of these kids since their freshman year in person. Tristan Dunn was a difference maker. He is a Macintosh. He's a flat. When he tackles you, you feel who you got tackled, and he's got great speed, and he's a pretty good size kid. He's long. He's now grown to be 6'4". So
see, I see him as a linebacker.
Linebacker.
I don't see him as a safety. You know, he's going to grow into that.
So he's going to be a. He looks like the coach thinks he's going to be a Husky and a safety first, and he'll grow into it. Right. As he learns the defense, but he might get a chance to play. They think Armand Parker might have a chance to play. There's a possibility. Spring ball is going to see who's who and what's what, and the guys with the want to are going to play, and the guys that don't have the want to or the skills that they can develop are going to probably be identified.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anytime you get a new staff, you get a chance to basically wipe the slate clean. Even if you're guys like a Draco Bynum, like you say, hey, man, I've been here for 4 years. I haven't sniffed anything except my own jock. So yeah.
How would you like to be a grad assistant?
Right. So,
you know, but it's the only time that they can. You know, nobody likes to play for a guy that runs players off. But
right.
Big programs do that.
Sure they do. They have to liquidate their roster because they want to get 25 players a year. And the only way to do that is to validate if these guys can make it. No, they
don't get 25 5-stars. They get maybe at the best of them get 5.
Right.
And they get 4-stars that can become 5s and the 3-stars that can become 4s. But the 3-stars that are still 3-stars are going to be peddled. So – you know, I think we got a chance to see that. We got a recruiting class that has a chance to help us. On paper, it doesn't look like you look at USC. Now, they got some good high school kids, a few, but they got a lot of really top transfers. Oregon, pretty much the same.
Yeah, USC is going to be a wreck. USC is going to wreck some stuff, but it's also going to keep the Pac-12 as a viable conference.
Yeah, I thought. Well, it's going to hopefully what's going to happen is going to raise the level of competition, and that will help us. I don't know that I'm not looking for a Pac-12 title this year, or even a North title. I am looking for a team that's exciting. You know, our last year's team lost all but one game by a touchdown or less, all but two games, excuse me. And they could have very well have been an 8-win team, and they didn't play like it. So I think we got a good chance at 8 wins, and a decent bowl game,
will
do nothing but help the staff. I think, you know, I went back to the start of this thing. The coaching staff deserves accolades for what they've done with the team, what they've done in terms of energy, of being out and getting in front of people. They're kind of creating a buzz in the state now and in the markets that they've been to. Many of them haven't seen a Husky coach in a while. Our last staff prided themselves on only issuing a certain amount.
That's right.
And I think it's lazy. And I think it's left the staff here. They're having to start at ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the expectations of the experts from this staff is hopeful, but
it's gonna take time.
Overwhelming.
It's going to take time, man. It's going to take time. Well, you know, I think I'm on your – if I'm just piecemealing the conversation today and over the last month or so of work done by the Husky staff and how their roster has shifted, I am more optimistic. 8 wins in the Pac-12 from this roster, that's not crazy to me.
we'll have to see how spring ball goes. You know, there's a lot of time before now and then. So what's up next? So there's a dead period time, right? So what's the main shoe to drop before we wrap up here, Larry, before spring ball? What's the next?
What I wanted to make sure you knew that the NIL program at Washington is starting.
Yes, that's right.
Advance.
That's right.
Did you see that about Fanatics?
I did. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. That's great. I think.
Well, what it does is it means Greg Bynum can actually have a jersey made that can be marketed.
That's right.
It's open to every player on the team. They're going to get maybe $10 a jersey or something.
Yeah, it's not earth shattering. It's not Bryce Young,
but it's a start.
Or, yeah, it's a start.
They do have some guys on the staff already. For whatever reason, the school can't do much to market what the NIL groups are doing, but the NIL groups are getting players, programs and stuff like that. So it is moving ahead. I'm sure that there's a representative from that group that comes in and talks to the players when they come on campus about what they're looking for and what they're going to do. They've got a pretty good staff for that. So I'm encouraged by that. It kind of starts to begin the leveling of the playing field. You know, Oregon has done it forever. USC probably has done it forever. Most of the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC are doing it.
Yeah, look at what Texas A&M hauled in, a ridiculous class. And evidently there's some reports, there's some comments from Nick Saban saying, this is the wild, wild west. I don't know if they're handing bags of cash. I have no idea. Now, that is, again, I'm not in the media, but I'm just reading Nick Saban between the lines. Sounds like there's some there needs to be some more rules set on this Neil stuff,
yeah.
because you're going to start getting really crazy stuff happening. Yeah.
He wants the other guys to go away.
Sure.
So they can't be doing what he does, because there's something that's going on in Alabama other than the fact that, you know, Alabama has a lot of good football players, but there's got to be something that's been going on for a long, long time. You know, you remember back when we lost that one kid from Utah, that they got his dad a job.
Yes, Kano.
Yeah. And USC, remember, promised one of our recruits a citizenship for his family.
That was to Marlon Tupelato.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's been stuff like that that Washington, and Washington's not going to go crazy on that, but they do have some tools to work with. The big thing is the players have to trust the coaching staff and the staff there. That coaching staff now, with the other things, if you look at on the Husky site and print off the player rosters, at the bottom they've got all the analysts listed. And they've gone from maybe having 8 or 10 people in the office to probably 40. And their strength and conditioning people, and that's just the football staff. Basketball's got their own strength and conditioning staff. Baseball's got their own strength and conditioning staff. So they're doing a lot of the right stuff. But right now, all we can do is be hopeful. Appreciate the effort that these guys are putting out.
Yep.
I think we look forward to spring football to tell us what we really see. I'm hoping it's a little more open than it's been, because I think one of the things that the staff is trying to recruit besides players is fans.
That's right.
And they've really opened up to the media. You know, when he starts every one of his press conferences, he says, "And I'm really glad that you guys are here. We appreciate what you do." I've never heard that before.
Well, you know, just
Don James didn't say that. Chris Peterson didn't say that.
He recognizes that Washington football was at a peak 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and now it was facing dark ages. And he's got to get some friends on his side, and that includes the media, because guys, as I just said, the guys on 710 or KJR, they got to start promoting the program to get some enthusiasm. But all right, hey man, let's wrap this up. I got to get some lunch. What do you say?
Fantastic. You guys look forward to maybe as we get into the spring ball, maybe we can.
Yeah, we'll throw another one on the calendar here. Maybe when we see something happen with the kid from Rainier Beach, we can throw
Josh Connerly.
Yeah, yep. We'll do it, man. Well, thank you for your time, listeners. Thank you, Larry, for all your insight. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.